All right, happy Sunday, Bridgepoint. Thank you for tuning in. Happy Labor Day weekend. So pumped that you're joining us. I hope if you get a day off that it is refreshing. I hope if you don't get a day off that you will remain committed to working as if what you're doing is serving the Lord directly. That's the biblical call for us as believers. But thank you for tuning in today. Like Scotty said, we are shaking it up, Labor Day weekend, making sure everybody's ready for it. Before you panic on what he said, I am not leading worship. Ain't nobody got time for that. But thanks for tuning in. Man, it's September. I'm so excited to that for a lot of reasons. One, it means we're still getting further through this year of 2020. But two, we've been so looking forward to the month of September for a long, long time. All right? Because next week, we are regathering on a couple of our campuses, and we could not be more excited. Make sure you get your tickets. You'll need a ticket to get in. Tickets are free. We're just trying to make sure we have healthy crowd limits in both of our campuses. So you will need a ticket to enter. There are protocols that we're going to follow because we want to do it safely and wisely. You can find all that information on the website. I hope you'll get a ticket, not only for yourself and your family, but think about who you need to bring. Grab them a ticket to. Tell them you got something that you want to invite them to. Bring them with you. We're this excited about September. Not just the regathering part. We'll still be online. Scotty said all these things, but we're starting to put more energy into what we've been referring to as watch parties. Opportunities to gather in folks' homes, to watch the message, to do life together. Groups are launching. So much good stuff that is going on this month. And we get to do it, as you can see by this series graphic, we get to do it together. That's what all this is going to be about for us. Our new series is emphasizing this idea that as we step into the fall of this year, of all years, we want to be together. We want to be united on this. So I'm super pumped for it. If you missed the series that we just wrapped up last week, Scott Davis wrapped it up, our Surrounded series, go back and watch that. Incredible study on what Paul, the writer in the New Testament, refers to as the armor of God. If you missed any of those weeks, go back and catch them. So much good content that was a part of that. And even last week, Scott wrapped it up talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's another name for the Bible, the Word of God. We're going to piggyback and jump right off of that message today. But in this new series, in this new season, in this new month of this crazy year, one of the things that has had my heart as one of the pastors here at Bridgepoint excited about this series is September is really going to create enough space for us as a church that as we walk through this series, as some of us get to regather as we're comfortable and feel good about that, as we have new opportunities for groups and connections and everything else. September is the month where we're going to remind ourselves and go right back to our mission. That's what this is about. Our church is a group of people that are gathered and united around a mission that God has given to us for the sake of our county. That's what all of this is about. And it's our hope, it's our prayer as church leaders that this becomes the month that for you guys that are tuning in at any point that you're watching this, or for us as a staff, that we're deciding, man, are we recommitting to this mission? The mission is what unites us. The mission is what we rally behind. The mission is what is common for us that helps us take Jesus to our county. Jesus is the hope of the world, and Jesus wants to use us to communicate that hope to Pinellas County and beyond. So this month is an opportunity for us to recommit, to decide, man, am I in on that? Am I in on that mission? Am I in on what it's about? And this is the month that if you have friends that need to know and need to be a part of what we're a part of at Bridgepoint, now's the time to invite them to come with you. Grab them a ticket. Invite them to tune in with you. Let them come to your house, or just tell them what time to watch and that you guys can watch together. On Facebook or YouTube or on a church online platform. Let's do this together. That's why we're calling this series this. Here's what you need to know, okay? We're going to have a fun in conclusion to this worship service. I am not going to be preaching for the full hour. So before you think, did they put him up early because he has that much to say? No, ain't nobody got time for that. Nobody could. Even my wife wouldn't power through a full hour of message from me. But here's what's really important. We wanted September to be the month that we remind ourselves of who we are as a church. what we're called to, what we're called to be as a group, but also individuals therein. So here's what you need to know. Bridgepoint, our church, was founded 14 years ago. Our founding pastor, Tim Whipple, launched this church to be the type of church that even people that don't believe what we believe want to attend here. It was that type of church wasn't readily accessible 14 years ago, and it's continuing to be the type of church that we want to be today. We want to be a safe place for people that have questions about faith. We want to be a safe place for people that feel broken and like they don't have a place in church. We want to be the place that when folks say, I don't know where else to turn, I don't know what else to do, I don't know where else to go, we want to be the church that they say, what about at Bridgepoint? And here's what's crazy. We've been in a season of transition. We're beginning to step out of that season of transition. And in order for us to get excited about where we're going together, we need to stop and start by reminding ourselves of who we've always been. Because the mission of Bridgepoint, who we are, our rally cry as we try to take Jesus to the world, those things aren't changing. Because our founding pastor, Tim, gave us this vision 14 years ago, and it remains true today. The mission of Bridgepoint is that we exist to help people, all people, get closer to God by believing in Jesus, living his teachings, and becoming his people. That's the heartbeat of who we are. That's the heartbeat of what we're called to. That's the driving force of what it's going to look like for us to take and execute our mission to Pinellas County and literally to the ends of the world. But here's what you need to know about that. As we begin to come out of a season of transition, many have been asking, well, is the church going to change? Are things going to be different? Am I going to be able to love this church like I've loved it before? And here's what I would just point you back to, because I'm confident that if you fell in love with the mission that God has given to us, if you fell in love with how we desire to execute that across Pinellas County, if you fell in love with being a part of something so much bigger than any one person, then you're gonna absolutely continue to be in love with where we believe God's taking us, because the mission doesn't change. This church was not built on a personality. This church was not built on the person standing on the stage. This church was not built on a worship style, on a building or buildings or a strategy or anything else. This church is a group of people that rally behind the very mission that God has given to us. And that's the good news as together we start looking at what God has for us this fall. Now more than ever, our world needs to see the church rising up and being the church. Not because the church itself is that important, but because the church is the hope of the world, taking the name of Jesus to the world. That's who we want to be, and that's what we want to be about. But can I caution you on one thing? Because Bridgepoint is so much bigger than a personality, because Bridgepoint is so much bigger than preferences, because Bridgepoint is so much bigger than even expectations that we would place not only on who we think God ought to be or how we would want God to work, Bridgepoint must be built on something bigger than us. Because here's what I want you to know. Bridgepoint Church is a God thing. It's a God thing. It always has been for 14 years. Bridgepoint's a God thing. But in order for us to understand and talk about our mission, which we're going to be doing the next 3 weeks in September, that's why I cannot encourage you enough to bring somebody that needs to hear about what we're about. Bring them with you. Get them to tune in with you. Do those things. But because we value that mission so much, we need to start with the very foundation of where that mission came from. Because it can't be about us. It can't be about our preferences. It has to be something bigger. If this really is a God thing, then we've got to know how God's been building this thing. Because if you and I fall into the temptation of making this an us thing, well, we might as well quit wasting our time. Because none of us have the power to rescue, to speak hope and life and love into a community the way that God does. Because none of us can assign a level of purpose to the human heart and life like only God can. That's why this matters. That's why I hope you'll bring your friends. That's why this is all important. That's why our mission is our rallying cry. And here's why that mission is important. Because we believe anybody that's going to get closer to God needs to start with trying to get to know God, right? That makes sense. And in order to know God, just to take it one step further, we want to help people to know Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was the God that put on flesh and lived with us, among us. Now, not present day, but about 2,000 years ago, Jesus was the God that dwelt among us so that he could help people know God personally. God doesn't have any intention of being a distant, far off, unknowable, inaccessible God. Instead, Jesus is the proof that God wants to be involved in your life, with you, a part of your journey and a part of what he's doing for you. And in order to know Jesus, he's best known by looking at the Bible. The Bible's oftentimes referred to as the Word of God, but the reason this is important is because this is the book that reveals who Jesus is. People are going to get closer to God. They need to start by getting to know Jesus. And if they're going to get to know Jesus, they need to start with this book because this book reveals him. Here's what I want you to understand. Our faith is not something that a group of guys sat around a few thousand years ago and said, okay, let's create this thing called Christianity. And we'll write a book of practices and we'll create a central figure. Let's call him Jesus. That's not how it was all formed. In fact, all of this began with people that have been on a pursuit to know God from the beginning of time. And really, they've only been on that pursuit because God's desired to know them. All of the culmination of the Old Testament pointed to the fact that this world desperately needs Jesus. Rescue, hope, life, love, peace. Jesus offers those things. And then the rest of the New Testament, that's part of the Bible, the rest of the New Testament is actually about the eyewitnesses that experienced Jesus. The way that he changed their life, the way that he changed the world, the way that he introduced something entirely new. Therefore, because this book is all about getting to know God and what God wants to do in our world through us, this becomes the most foundational thing for our lives. The Bible, a collection of books, not about us, but about God. Pointing to Jesus that we might know him and have relationship with him. Last week, Scott talked about the Bible and how it is known as the Word of God. Again, I can't encourage you enough to go back and watch that message. Scott dropped some fire in it. Catch up with those things. But see, far too often, too many people want to dismiss this book as some ancient, out of touch, irrelevant, useless book. But what if it's not? What if it's not? What if this really is such a foundational piece to our life and faith? Then it must beg the question for those of us that want to get closer to God, why did God give us the Bible? Scott talked about that while the book was written by men, it was God inspired, that nothing was written into this book that God didn't want to be a part of it. So what if this becomes not just some ancient practice of living right, but what if this actually becomes the opportunity for us to hear from God? That in getting closer to him, he's not just saying, I hope they figure life on earth out, but he's saying, I hope that they'll know me more and become who I've made them to be. You see, Bridgepoint's logo points to why this is so critical. From the very beginning, this has been what we've been aiming at. This is Bridgepoint's logo. Why? Because the most pivotal thing for your life and mine is the recognition that what Jesus did on the cross was supremely important for our souls. Because Jesus' death on the cross became the bridge that you and I might know God. You see that? The cross was the bridge to get to God. And the only bridge to God must be the cross. Jesus taught this. Jesus lived this. And for thousands of years, people have been in pursuit of God and getting access only because of the deep love of Jesus. That when he looked at your life and mine, recognizing our brokenness, sensing our hopelessness, sensing the frequency by which we tried to live life on our own terms and could not get it right. He said, I want to be for them what they can't be for themselves. So taking all of our brokenness, all of what the Bible refers to as sin, everything that's opposite in us of God, he took that weight upon himself on the cross, and by doing so, killed him, was put him in a tomb, and he rose again. And when he rose, that cross became the bridge. That's what this church is about. That's who Bridgepoint is. That's why, that's where our mission comes from. But you got to understand that it's not a mission that's just defined by preference. It's a mission that's defined by the Word of God, the Bible. Why did God give us the Bible? Why does this ancient book matter? Why should I care about this? Because I'll be quite honest with you, as one of the regular folks that gets to come and speak to you, I don't actually have all that much wisdom to offer you on my own, nor, quite honestly, would most of you want to hear it. But here's what I need you to understand about who our church is. Our mission stems from this foundation, because this book is how we know God better. That's why at Bridgepoint, our messages are going to flow from this book. We're about to look at a passage in this book. That's why our learning groups want to study this book, or books that help us understand this book. That's why our conversations point back to this book. That's why how we know who God is, so that he's not just a figment of our expectation or preference, but he's the God, the true God that is knowable and accessible through Jesus, and he speaks to us through this book. That's why this matters. No other source, no other book, no other self-help thing has ever claimed to be the very Word of God, and therefore this book has a power that nothing in this world can offer you. That's why the Bible. Why did God give us the Bible? Isn't it just the basis of forming this faith known as Christianity? Or what if Jesus was the point of our faith, and this book just tells us how Jesus allowed the story to unfold? Here's what I mean. Here's why this book is so supremely important. And here's why it has a power that no other book and no other faith experience can contain. Hebrews chapter 4. It's one of the books in this Bible, written by a guy named Paul. Paul, in his experience with Jesus, we think it was written by Paul. Paul, in his experience with Jesus, really discovered something about Jesus that he said, you know what, I want to write my experience with him so others know it. And here's one of the things Paul wrote down in the book of Hebrews, right out of the Bible. For the Word of God, the Bible, right? For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Catch that, because there's a lot of strength in what Paul is saying we find in this book, the Bible. This book is living and active, more than just words on a page, more than just the cover that it's wrapped in, more important than whether or not it has a ribbon on it. This book is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the vision of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There's no book that can be for you and I what this book promises to be. Nothing can do that. Nothing has that kind of power associated with it, because nothing else claims to be living and active, that intentional. That's why this is so huge. You see, Paul kind of works through why this really matters, and he kind of spells it out, that the Bible specifically is, and understand this, kind of 3 points underneath this from that passage in Hebrews. The Bible is living and active. Man, that is huge. That's huge. Because this is why for a believer, I've followed Jesus now for close to 20 years. And this is why I can keep going back to this book, that I can keep trying to read it. And as many days as exist where I read it and I say, God, I don't understand this. There are still days where I read and I just think, God, I've never known this about you. I've never seen your character revealed like this. God, I never recognized that sin in my life. I've never experienced this book to be so relevant than the fact that I can read it every day and discover more, not only about who God is, but the plans and purposes and the things that he wants to do in my life. No other book can be that because no other book is living and active. You see the power there? You see how God wants to speak in something like that? You see how God wants to use just a book like this? 20 years in, and if you commit to spending time in this book, I'm not promising that every day is enlightened and fills you with warm fuzzies on the inside, but I'm promising if you'll commit to studying a book that God speaks through, that God will speak to you. There's nothing then that could be more relevant to our lives than to know that the God of the universe that's working and moving in our world is also active in speaking to us. Do you see that power? I have nothing to offer you that has the power to be so relevant in your world like this book does. How many times have you walked out of a message, those of you that have been with Bridgepoint for a while, and say, man, Tyler or whoever spoke that week, man, that message was just for me. As if we're reading your mail or knowing your thoughts or preaching directly to you. How does that happen? That as God, by his Holy Spirit, uses God's word, it speaks to your heart and deep into your soul. But see, the Bible is living and active, but it's also sharp. The Bible is sharp. I love that it actually describes that because Paul, we think, right, or the writer of Hebrews describes this, that it can cut deep inside of us. And I'll be honest with you that even though my desire has been to follow Jesus for 20 years, there's still lots about me that I need God to continue to work in my life on. And the word of God is willing to cut out those things that are rooting in my heart or rooting in my life that don't look like Jesus, that don't allow me to walk into my purpose and that don't give me life, the life that God intended for me. That's why this is important. Now, here's what I mean by that. I love the temptation to read this book and think, oh man, I need to make sure Zach reads that passage because he's terrible at that. I love when this book gets sharp for other people, but see the promise of how loving God is for me and how loving he wants to be for you is that God's willing to take the knife and cut out dead places that even live in us. That's why the common denominator for everyone here at Bridgepoint is not a group of people that have all the answers and that don't ever make mistakes and that don't have broken places inside of us. But instead, it's a group of people that believe that the hope of our lives, that the rescue of our souls, and that God deeply desires a purpose for us that's bigger than us, that's what's common. And we need the sharpness of the Bible to cut those places out. But the third thing that Paul describes the Bible to be is living and active, sharp, but a discerner of thoughts and intentions. You see, the Bible is the space that when you read it, because of the power of God's word in your life, there's no hiding there. There's no masks there. And in the wrong hands, to be so vulnerable could be so dangerous in our lives unless we're talking about a good God that loves us deeply, loves us enough to prove it on the cross. You see, the Bible is the place that when you approach this book, masks are off. There's no more pretending. There's no more feeling like I need to be something to get something from this book. Or there's no more like, God, do you see what I'm doing? I'm reading the Bible. I'm showing up in church. I'm doing all these things that make me feel good because God's not actually concerned with your feeling good. God's concerned with you stepping into your purpose. Here's what I know to be true about me. I've been following Jesus, like I said, for close to 20 years, and I have yet to arrive. How do I know that? Because believe it or not, and this will probably shock some of you, but my wife still hasn't told me I'm the perfect husband. I don't know why. I feel like I'm doing a downright good job. But worse than that, my five-year-old and my three-year-old, they still haven't come and say and told me that I'm the perfect dad. And as many of you know, none of you have yet written me and told me that I'm the perfect pastor. Which either means this whole world is fooled about me, or God's not done in my heart, and I need his words to keep speaking and working in me. Why does that matter? You see why this book is therefore so critical? That to have a mission on any other person or preference or idea is actually a mission that's built by man. But when we build something off of the word of God and how he speaks and moves, it changes everything. Even the book of James, chapter 2, it kind of talks about why the word of God is that much more important. James was the brother of Jesus, mind you. That's an eyewitness worth paying attention to. But James chapter 2 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works?" Now, stick with me for a second, because I'm not suggesting that your faith is dependent on what you do, as if somehow we earn favor with God. All of us have missed that mark. The Bible's clear on it. But let's look again at what it says. What good does it do, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? In other words, if you're showing up to church so that you only feel good about yourself, if you drop a little money in the bucket or give online every now and then so that you can say, "See, God, I'm giving." If you try to be kind to somebody every now and then, as if by doing these things God is impressed with you, then what you're really concerned about is not getting closer to God, but feeling good on the inside. And when you're just looking for a faith that makes you feel good, that's actually just a worship of self. That's why, church, we need a mission that is so much bigger than us. James continues, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" He goes on, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." You see, in order for you and I to build our lives on something bigger than us, we must place our faith in something bigger than us and live it out. In other words, our faith in Jesus, guided by a mission like helping people get closer to God, that will be the most alive thing Pinellas County will encounter, at least in terms of when it comes to God. This matters so much that we build our lives on something real and true, because faith without action, faith without mission, faith without movement in us is dead. It's a self-worship, and that's not what God has called us to, but instead, a faith that's built upon truth, a faith that's built upon God's word, a faith that propels us to love people, all people. That's a faith that God is alive in. That's a faith that God is working in. That's a faith that allows dead hearts to experience life. That's a faith that has power behind it, more power than any one of us could generate on our own. That's the type of faith we want to build our lives on, and that's why the mission of our church is built upon the truth of God's word. But I need to warn you, when we build our faith on something bigger than us, like God's word, that means there will be times that we read God's word and it offends us, that it cuts us, that it challenges our thinking, that it challenges our way of life, our behaviors, our attitudes, the way we see certain people and don't see certain people. It's going to bother us, because that's how you know that our faith is bigger than just us. The power of God's word. Why did God give us the Bible? Why did Bridgepoint build our mission off of God's word? Well, it would be this big idea, and if you hear nothing else, hear this. The Bible is the word of God given to speak life into our dead souls. See this faith thing? It's not about trying to make you and me good people that do good things. I hope that happens. But following Jesus, we follow Jesus because he's the only one that can make our hearts and souls alive. I follow Jesus 20 years later because I still need him to cut out dead places in my heart that don't look like him and that don't match my purpose. I follow Jesus and I want to know him through this book because that's the hope for my soul to come alive. And I need that more now than I ever have in our world needs that more now than it ever has in its existence. So church, who do you know that needs to know who you know? Because now it's time to invite them. Invite your friends. Let them know about this mission. Grab some family members. Grab some coworkers. Grab some strangers. Find folks that are hurting. Find folks that are broken. Find those that would say, man, I'm too messed up. Find those that are walking through a divorce. Find those that have a messy marriage. Find those that feel confused. Find those that don't believe there's a God. Find those that are hard to love. Find those that are burnt out. Find those that feel so cast aside and marginalized and lonely and like they don't belong anywhere. Find those folks because the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit works in their life, that's the hope of them getting to know life. But Bridgepoint, for this next month, here's the pursuit. We're going to be doing this together. We're going to do it together because we're not a church that's just about feeling good and producing good people. We're a church that says we exist to help people, all people, get closer to God. And that's a mission that's built on the truth of God's very word and is so much bigger than any one of us. So church, will you pray with me? God, would you make us a people that lives for something so much bigger than ourselves? God, this church is a God thing. It's not an us thing. This church is about a hope thing because Jesus is the hope of the world. Our people are a group of people that are pursuing, trying to get to know you with all that we have. And God, in order for us to live out our mission to the fullest, we've got to start at the strongest foundation possible. And so God, we start with the Bible. God, we know it's living and active. It is so relevant to our lives. God, we know it's sharp. It's going to cut, but for our good. God, we know we can't pretend. We can't just do something because it feels good or feels right. But God, this word is going to expose our hearts and our minds. But God, we can trust you with those. So Jesus, would you make us a church that is all about your word, the Bible? And would you make us a church that gets really good at living that out? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.